Welcome back, community group leaders, to this week's episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Leekin, and I'm joined here with Dougie Fresh, as we so lovingly call him on staff, or if you're his mom, you know him as Doug Fresh.
Ooh, sounds very nice. Not like Douglas Russell or anything, though.
No.
Okay.
We weren't going to go with middle name there.
Okay. Gosh, your voice, though, is great. Do you change it for the podcast?
I don't know. So, like, this pressure system has come in and changed, and so, like, last week it was all like this, and this week I just can't shake it, but, like, I've taken so much DayQuil and stuff, but, like, I'm not... I don't know. It's just weird.
It just sounds great for the podcast, so maybe don't ever change.
Maybe always try to have that, like, slightly gravelly.
Yeah, congested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, it sounds good.
I'm glad you like it.
Yep.
It is weird to me, but we're going to move on here. So tonight, we're recording this. It's the Deeper Experience. Super excited for it. But if you're watching this at any other night, then it's already happened. So we don't need that announcement.
Yep.
But we do have on February 25th coming, there'll be a link in the email for the Developing Leaders Play. Mm-hmm. Jeremy and I have been working really hard on what that's going to look like. And I'm super excited for what it means for small group ministry and how we're going to roll that out. So you should come and be a part of that. We would love to have you there. All right, Doug. So since you're not a regular on this show.
Yeah.
I have a would you rather question.
Okay.
Would you rather have wet socks for an hour or step on a Lego randomly several times throughout the hour?
Oh, throughout the hour. Wet socks that are obviously on my feet.
Yep. You can't take them off.
So
they're wet.
I was hoping I could just hold them.
Okay. No.
Or random.
Or put them on
Lego
your hands. No, that's weird.
Wet socks, I think.
What?
Yeah. The Lego pain. So I'm kind of a pansy, honestly. And when I get the most violent in my life is when physical pain comes at me at a time I'm not expecting it. So if I ever get, like when I was doing student ministry and a kid would like hit me in the face for fun or like playing dodgeball and I would be sitting out but somebody would come over and throw a ball at my face.
Yeah.
That's when angry temper Doug would come out and like, you know, throw 12 dodgeballs in response at the kid. So yeah, the Lego thing sounds terrible. The wet socks I could probably just, you know, learn to deal with.
Oh man, the moment like I step on the dog's water or something, it's just like all downhill. Like if that happened first thing in the morning, like day ruined. Like I would remember it. I keep a pair of socks in my backpack to switch in the event that I get my feet wet. Like, I can't.
Okay, so this was like a would you rather to learn about me, but I think we all learned something about you, which is that you're really crazy anal about the
wet
not
socks.
Getting your wet socks. Yeah, that's,
yeah.
I think you're on a different level there, so.
Okay, well,
thanks for telling us
that. We have that.
Yeah.
But, all right, as we go into our time of content and study, which is why I'm sure everyone's here not to learn about my wet socks or your pain thing.
Yeah.
So this week we started out, we're continuing on the life of Moses, and we started out with a crossing of the sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can you paint a picture of where you're going and how you're going from that to getting to where you're at for your sermon?
Sure. I'm guessing all these people are reading the daily reading plan and the daily devotion. So you've read this week about how they crossed the Red Sea. And again, the sermon series is behind and before, so I'm probably not going to spend, I might not even mention this, I might, but God led them, you know, a pillar of fire and cloud led the group of Israel to the Red Sea. And then at the Red Sea, when the Egyptians were coming to get them, he moved behind them and protected them while they crossed and then, you know, killed the Egyptians. And so they're on the other side of the Red Sea and God continues to lead them. And so in the chapters you read this week, you see the provision of manna, you see the provision of water. You really see God taking care of his people as he moves them to Mount Sinai. And that's where, obviously, the Ten Commandments we're talking about happen at Mount Sinai. And then the last chapter, you read in the reading this week is of them building the golden calf while Moses is on the mountain. But yeah, to set up, they're kind of stuck in this in-between, right? They're in between Egypt, they're in between, they haven't made it to Canaan yet, and God centers them at Mount Sinai and kind of is going to use this time to form them into the people that he wants them to be and teach them kind of who he is as their God. Yeah, so that's where we pick up.
Yeah, awesome. I love that story where we end with the Israelites and the golden calf because it always reminds me, I can laugh at how silly that is, but like I think about my own life, all of my own little golden idols, so
yeah,
quite awesome.
Yeah.
So this passage for this week, you're focusing on the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
What does that teach us about God, like, today?
Yeah. It teaches us a lot of things. But when you think about the context of the day and age, like, Egypt was a place of, idol worship and paganism and hedonism and power that glorified violence and power. And they're moving to Canaan, where you have child sacrifice and cult prostitution and just darkness and sin. And so the Ten Commandments and the law at Sinai give us this picture of that God is different, so much different from the cultures back then. And so his desire for his people is that we live in a way that looks radically different from the world. And so it teaches us that about God. It teaches us that he is a God that loves to reveal himself. So he could have, not given the Israelites all of these commands, all of these laws, and revealed his heart for them, but he chose to. What else does it teach us about God? He's a God of order. Hmm. And it just, the way that he gives the commandments, the smoke on the mountain, the trumpet blast, the fear of death if they come too close, it shows the holiness of God. He's trying to show his people that don't know Yahweh, that don't really know him, just how holy, how powerful, how different he is from the little kind of idols that they've worshipped in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just awesome. Random thoughts there.
I love it. Cool. So my favorite part, we get to see what you took, because your sermon's 30 minutes, but that took a lot more time to prep, and you've got a lot of other things opening up that. So what else from your time of study that you think would be either helpful or just fun to know that you weren't able to include because you had to keep it within a certain time period?
Yeah. There was a lot in this, I think, just because it's in the Old Testament, we don't get a lot of explanation for stuff. So all this, you can find out a ton of other stuff in your study. But I'll just focus on a couple things. First of all, there's a lot of discussion around the golden calf. So it seems ridiculous to us that a couple chapters before that,
right,
a magical voice from a mountain came and said, "Do not build idols." And all of the people in fear said, "We will not build idols." We right. absolutely agree. 40 days later, they build an idol, and you're lost on how stupid these people could be, right? How? And so there have been some ways to try to figure out, okay, we're not going to say that these people are absolute idiots. There must have been something else going on. And so in my work through commentaries this week, you read about how, in reality, that golden bull or calf, was similar to the main god of Egypt, was kind of a bull. El was his name, just, the generic term for God. And so a lot of people think the Israelites were not building an idol of another god, but rather that was supposed to represent Yahweh to them. And so they thought, okay, let's build a bull, a calf that represents this new god. And that will honor him and make him happy. In reality, obviously, they were going against the second commandment they just agreed to still, no matter what. Even if it was an idol of Yahweh, it was a problem.
Yeah.
And then other people say that, in a sense, actually, the bull, the calf, was, in many ancient cultures, merely the carrier of the god. So the god would be on top of or riding the bull or the calf. And so the fact that there was nothing on top of the calf was supposed to represent that they worshiped Yahweh, this new god who did not have an image with him. He did not want imagery with him. And so it was empty on top of the calf, and that's how Aaron did it. And so, again, it was supposed to honor this Yahweh that they were worshiping. In reality, God didn't care about any of that, because it was still them disobeying his basic command of not to build and bow down to any idol. But that was fascinating. And then something I'm not going to talk about, but I'd want to mention, is kind of what I said at the run-through, is that Hebrews 12, my favorite passage in the Bible, has this really beautiful picture of contrasting Mount Sinai and the giving of the law and Mount Zion and the kind of our salvation through Jesus. And so if you want small group leaders, to end community group leaders. So sorry.
Terminology.
So sorry.
It's okay.
If you want to end with that, maybe you can go to Hebrews 12 and read. It's poetry, but it's this beautiful compare and contrast. I don't think I'm gonna have the time to get into that this week, but, it's really, really beautiful, powerful.
Awesome. I love that. And I did not know about the golden calf being empty and the significance to that. So that's really interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, just all those potentials of what they might be doing. Yeah. They could really have just been idiots. And that's always an option.
All right. So the two questions that we have for the application today, this first one's kind of twofold. So community group leaders, you can kind of take it whichever way your group's going to go. You can either look at what commandment is going to come most naturally to you, or like what commandment are you struggling the most to live out? What would you say, Doug? What do you got for that?
No, why don't you go first, Cody?
Okay. So for me, I know I'm really guilty of not taking a Sabbath. It's kind of twofold for me. So I struggle to find rest, and I confuse oftentimes like things that seem restful, like watching TV or like reading a book. Like I confuse that as rest instead of just actually resting in the goodness that is God and taking that time and space to just point to Him and be like, yeah, you did create this. And like, this is awesome. And I struggle with that. I struggle to just sit still and just bask in that. But also for me, it's the coveting my neighbor's things. Little King James translation. But like, I know social media has made this huge for me. So like, I see all these photographers with these thousands and thousands of dollars of photo gear, and they're taking these beautiful photos. And I'm like, well, I want to be able to do that. I really like their camera. It's really nice. And so then I get lost in the moment of like, okay, well, I could take photos and take good photos. I don't need that. And so I just get caught up in that. And I think social media just feeds that right to me. Yeah. So that's the one that I'm like surrounded by a lot.
Yeah, that's good. Similarly, I struggle with the first one, I think. So we'll talk a little bit more about what it means to have no other gods before Yahweh. But for me, what that means is like, what do I look to for contentment, pleasure, joy, happiness, kind of my source of life? And I think I so often turn to other things and put other things on the throne of my life or give it priority over God. So whether that is sports or whether that's time with my family or just like you, kind of like you referenced, just my me time, me on the couch doing whatever I want. So I struggle with that. And I would say none of them are really natural to me. Something else that somebody shared, I'm probably not going to share in my sermon, is that generally we come up with rules and laws because we know that we're tempted to do those things specifically. And so I do feel like all of these hit a different part of the wickedness of my heart. Yeah. I really feel like I could just pick a different one. The Sabbath I'm bad at, just like you. And then I feel like, yeah, when I think about stealing, that one convicted me this week as I read about it. Not because I feel like I don't steal big things, you know, but right. I do like steal time from my employer. You know, I do steal sneak candy into movie theaters, you know, and in that sense, I'm like, it's not hurting anybody. AMC doesn't care, you know, that I don't buy their candy, and yet they do make rules against it, and they do care. So it's all those ways in which we just make our lives easier by making other people's lives harder.
Yeah, because like you said, like I didn't steal a car. I didn't go rob a bank, so like I'm not stealing.
Yeah.
For me, it was like that murder one. Like I thought like, man, that's really easy to point out like, oh, well, I'm not going around stabbing people. Like, I mean, that's easy. But when thinking about like what that holds in my heart of like contentment for somebody of like, man, I really don't like them. Like, okay, well, that's a thought and now it's in my heart. And so it's the one that I thought like, oh, naturally, like, yeah, I'm not going to go stab people. But then in your message, you know, you kind of talk about like that can look in different ways. Like it's not just stabbing people.
Yeah. Sadly, it also would be easy to check that box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
For most of us, you know, just in case there's somebody out there murdering people. Oh, jeez. I want you to not do that.
That would be helpful. Okay. So in your message, you're going to set up, there's like these kind of three different like major command, four with the atheist one?
Yeah, you do the atheist one. Yeah.
Okay, so the three ones are pretty easy. They kind of just like, there's the Catholic, the Protestant, and then the Jewish one.
Yeah.
They kind of just move around different commandments, combine some, change some wording.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, for me, it was the parallel of like the Lord's Prayer. Like, I learned that in the King James Version. And so when other people say it in like more contemporary versions, like the words just don't seem right to me, but it's like the same basic principles, right? The Father's there. Here we go. We have our commandments. But the one set of commandments that really stood out and that I didn't know about was they're called the 10 non-commandments or like the atheist commandments.
Yeah.
Where did you find that? What did you hear about that?
Man, I read about it in a book, which caused me to go look it up. But yeah, I guess so. The backstory, if you don't look it up yourself, is that, man, when was that? 2014, I think.
Yeah.
Some atheists got together and said, you know, if we take God out of the equation, we can still have like a good, what would be the good 10 commandments for people who don't believe in God? And so they crowdsourced them. They kind of said, hey, send us in your thoughts. And then they got a panel of judges together and they, you know, compiled the most votes and they came up with their 10 non-commandments. And it was fascinating for me to read some of them. I was like, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, one of them is basically the golden rule. So
yeah.
It's not like they're all crazy, but some of them do just show the separation of life or a mind like under the submission of like to God and a mind that thinks that they're in control of, you know, making their own way. So
yeah, I will type them out in the email so that you guys can have them, so you can kind of have this discussion. But the question that comes to mind is, so like of the 10 non-commandments, which one are you the most like attracted to? Like which one? Because they're based out of like this desire that when we think about ourselves and not necessarily God first. So like they're really easily rooted in this like selfish desire of our own hearts and not God. So like there's that natural undercurrent of like we want to like be attracted to that because
yes.
it's like made in our image, not God's image. So like for you, which one was that?
No, why don't you go first again?
Oh, you want me to go first again?
I just like, I feel like I talk a lot and then I want people to hear your gravelly, amazing voice.
Oh, no, not the voice again. Okay. So for me, the one that says, strive to understand what is most likely true, not what you wish to be true. And so I think about the world now where everyone has like their own sets of like facts and their own like research and stuff. Mm. And I think about it more selfishly. Like I wish that people would like understand like what I think is true and what I know is true. And I mean, yeah, that's just where I'm at. Because like when I read that, and I'm like, yeah, understand what's most likely true, not what I wish to be true. But like I secretly wish like that I'm always right and that other people have to like learn like, oh, you just haven't read what I read yet. And it's just this dilemma, right? Like of everyone everywhere has like got their own set of things, especially with this world that it is currently. Yeah. And so like, that's the one that I was like, man, that seems like so timely. Like,
yeah, agreed. For me, I think it's number eight and number 10 on that list. We have the responsibility to consider others, including future generations, and leave the world a better place than you found it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely attracted to both of those, but then and they're good. You know, you do, those are basically others centered and that's kind of the, you know, the call of the last six commandments anyway. But I see in both of those the seedlings of wanting to leave a legacy for your own name and your own sake. So that future generations might know who you are and that you did good. And I think there's just a self-centeredness to most of these, whether it's a seek your own way, find your own truth, live your own life, or it's a when you live for others, do it so that they can remember you. And so I do feel like that's just the self-orientation of a world that doesn't want to believe in a God that they have to submit to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Can you pray for our community group leaders and their time together this week?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Father, I pray that as these community group leaders have discussions with their groups, that the Ten Commandments would become fresh, knowing that these are something that especially people in small groups who've been reading the Bible for decades, they've heard these hundreds of times. And so, Father, I pray for a new truth and new revelation from your Spirit, that you would reveal things in the text that they've never seen before, that you would make connections for them, not only in the Bible to make it come to life, but also connections between the Bible and their own reality, their own hearts. And so, God, reveal those things to us. And God, as we look at the law always reveals our heart, or it's designed to reveal our heart. And so as we see our own wickedness and our own failings and how we fall short of the glory of God, may you remind us in that moment of the truth that Christ died for that. Christ died for our flaws and our failures and living up to the law, that he's the only one that did that perfectly. And so I pray, Father, that you would preach the gospel this week to these groups as they look at the Ten Commandments, and that people would leave with the realization of where they are and where they fall short, and also with the realization that no matter how short they have fallen, that Jesus makes up the difference. And so we lift up their times and their groups to you and pray that you're glorified and honored through it. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Doug. Super excited for your message this weekend.
Thanks,
Doug. I always love your creative storytelling when you go through and like cover large swaths of the scripture, and it's always so fun, and it's just different.
Thank
you. It just brings it to life. It gives it the Dougie Fresh twist.
That's so scary to hear you say that. Okay.
I love it. Awesome. So just a quick reminder again that we have the Developing Leaders Play Friday, February 25th. Link will be in the email, but know that you are invited because you are a leader, and the call to action at the end is going to look a little bit differently for everyone, but you guys are all welcome, and I would love to see you there. And that's all I've got. So
Sweet.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Deeper Podcast. We look forward to seeing you.